I just want to take you back into history. Last week, I said to you, a bird, when I was doing with the children, an eagle came and lifted the roof. Some of you went and researched in their Bibles. But if you haven't, the roof that I meant was the top of the tree. So I was doing it on the children's level. So if I say roof, they might be excited. If I say the top of the tree, well, they're going to be excited. That story is in Ezekiel 17. That's the eagle that I was talking about last week. But today, we're talking about Moses. What a difference. In my sermon today, I just want you to know that I'm going to speak about something like this. Is it coming? Where is it? That's my theme. Don't miss the opportunity. We'll discover as we go along. This opportunity I'm talking about, as you'll hear, Moses' mother didn't want to miss that opportunity. But before I go into detail of the story, the Bible records the birth of Moses to two parents. The names are not given there. But you know, some of us as Bible scholars, we want to remain on that one for the time being. Don't move on. Leave it on there. As Bible scholars, we always want to deeper. If someone was just to read Moses' story, you say, well, the mother and the father are not mentioned. They are mentioned. Listen to this. The mother of Moses is called Jochebed, and the father is Amram. Amram married his father's sister. You can find that in Exodus 6, verse 20. The communities of that time, to them, it was normal. But not to us today. I cannot marry my father's sister. No ways. It's taboo. Right. The most important statement about this newly born baby, who is an Israelite, is that the mother said, this is a special child. But mothers who are here this morning, I think every child is special. It's a gift from God. But I think there must be something that was particular about this child, because the mother said, this child is special. What does she do? We'll hear as we go along. Maybe Jochebed had other thoughts, because there was Miriam in the background. There was Aaron in the background. Maybe she had compared these children and said, well, I think this one will be different. So please listen carefully, or else you might miss that opportunity. We'll start with this thing. Responsibility. Jochebed, being the mother, the father is not mentioned here. He's just gone out of the limelight. We are only hearing of Jochebed, the mother. She is said to say, when the child was growing too big, she couldn't hide him anymore. Because if you know the background of this story, Pharaoh wanted to kill all Israelite sons. He had actually given an instruction, if you read in chapter 1, to midwives, that any Israelite son who is born, kill them at birth. But the midwives were afraid and they honored God. They didn't do it. So, Jochebed saw that the son was growing. She couldn't hide him anymore in the house. Because the guards were coming door to door searching for Israelites' sons. So Jochebed thought of a plan. She made a papyrus basket, put tar in it, and bitumen. You remember the story of the ark? The same scenario. And then she put the son in there and took him to the river. Surely, look at this story here. Pharaoh had said, every Israelite son who is born, kill him. Or he sent the guards that every son that you pick up, throw them in the River Nile. Whom do we meet in the River Nile? It's the baby Moses. We are not told of any other Israelite son being thrown into the river, though that was the idea from Pharaoh. But here we have Moses in the river. Is that a coincidence? The mother is running away from the guards. who are going to come and snatch the special son that he had. She goes to the place where these children are supposed to be thrown in, and she places the son in there. Wow. But before we hear this story, listen to this. Miriam's age is not given. We are only told that the son is taken to the river. Okay? Who is keeping watch on the little baby in the river? It's a girl whose age is not given. If it was today, Jochebed was going to be in trouble. She will have 3 cases against her. 1, child neglect. 2, child abuse. 3, what did I say here? I can't remember the other one. But it was 3 cases that I gave her. She was going to be in trouble because the world has changed. But he used that. We don't want to call it it's coincidence. Doesn't Paul say in Romans 8 verse 28? And we know that all things work together for those who love God, who have been called according to his purpose. Isn't that so? She's running away from the guards. The guards have been instructed to throw this child, the Israelite boys into Nile River. Jochebed takes the son to the same river where the other children killed by the guards are going to be thrown in there. Also, the story tells us Moses was seen by Pharaoh's daughter, and she instructed her maids to pick up that child who was floating in the river. That's not coincidence. God, all things works for good for those who love the Lord, who have been called for his purpose. Amen. So there's no coincidence here, gentlemen, for those who believe in the Lord. Right. The protection of the child. Who is protecting the child in the River Nile? I believe there are crocodiles in River Nile. And Jochebed takes all her guts to go and put the child in front of such crocodiles in Nile River. What was happening here? Child abuse at its best. But listen to this. God is a God of nature. He's a God of protection. He protects. So sometimes we need to surrender our children before God because he's a God of protection. Sometimes we need to say, let go. God, here is your responsibility, not mine. This is what we need to do sometime. Some might wonder, because the last time I preached about children, it was at Mammy's dedication. I touched briefly about children, but I think we need to go deeper into children care. Because sometimes, today, we're not caring for our children. Why am I saying so? Because the best carer is God. Amen? He's the one. We need to surrender our children to God. He affords the best protection than what we can protect them ourselves. So, it is our responsibility to take our children before God. Take them to River Nile and say, God, there, if the crocodile is my son, God is your problem, not mine. But sometimes we take God's problems into our hands and we won't be successful. I'm sorry to say that. Surrender that son to God in the River Nile. Surrendering someone to nature. God is a God of nature. He will take care of the children. Some of you might say, well, our children are out of the nest now, they are grown up. A child is a child, am I right? What is the age limit of a child? Never. A child is a child. We might have gray hair, like I'm starting to have some. I'm still my mom and my dad's child. Amen. And I'm still God's child. So hence, we still need to take them to River Nile and say, God, if crocodiles eat my son, it's not my problem, it's yours. And also, your grandchildren are your children because they call after your name if you are from the father's side. They call after your name, so they are still your children. So you need to surrender them into the river Nile and leave them before the Lord. Because sometimes some people have got the tendency of blaming themselves. Say, well, I wish I should have done enough. But listen, I want you to look at this. That image there is not good as on there. Some of you can tell me who that is. If you look on this one, you can tell me who this person is. Right, those ones at the back, look at that picture. Can you see who it is? No? Thank you. Okay, all right. But on that one, this one is not good. Recently, I was reading a newspaper story about David Beckham. You know, most of us know he has got an MBE because of playing football. But I think of all that time he was playing football, he didn't have enough time with his sons and daughter. But now he's trying to redeem that time. He's trying to save that time. So he took his son out on a fishing trip. So when they got to Marks & Spencer, I think, for a cup of coffee before they went on the river, they were thronged by people when they saw Beckham. Some couldn't believe it. Some were tweeting, Beckham is in our shop. All the stuff coming in. And Beckham said, I needed this time with my sons. I didn't have such time. So some of the times, we miss those times with our children. We miss those times with our beloved ones. Have you noticed of recently, when I was visiting someone in hospital, he said in London he went to hospital to visit a friend of his who was not well. And coincidentally, his six sons were all around his bed to visit the father who was dying on a hospital bed. All these sons were not talking to each other. They are all sitting around this bed, but they are all engaged on their phones, whether tweeting or whatever they were seeing. So he said, I was so surprised. I said to them, you guys, you are here for this sick person, but you are not engaging with this person. You might as well go home. Because this is what happens in the community that we have today. We are missing each other even though we are around each other. Let's cherish the time we have together. We need to redeem that time that we are within ourselves, with our families. Those times are disappearing so fast. No wonder Jochebed didn't want to miss this opportunity. She took it seriously and surrendered her son in the River Nile. Here is this verse from Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. It says this, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Already, we have gone through this. We've spoken with our children. We've spoken with our loved ones. They know that we believe in the Lord. Don't they? You have done your bit if you didn't know. So don't feel guilty that you didn't do enough. You have told them as they were growing up. So now, I want to the word of God to free you. Don't feel guilty that you haven't done enough. No. As they were growing up, you told them. They know mom and dad or granddad or nanny is a believer. You have sown the seed. So, it's time to let go. God, through his Holy Spirit, is now going to do what he's going to do. The same protection he afforded Moses in the River Nile, he's going to use the same technique. So, our children, our grandchildren are in safe zone because we've already told them, we've planted the seed. So the Holy Spirit should carry on from there. Today we live in a world of crisis. We need protection. So who protects our children? God. I was reading a magazine. It says, in the Time magazine of 1989, the following was recorded. Parents spend more time on courses about AIDS, drug abuse, sex and suicide. Most parents are at the mercy of economic changes. Hence, they cannot afford time to be with their children. They are always away, chasing more shifts. The child is now left at the mercy of a childminder or by a care worker. The cost of housing has also rocketed, which has forced families not to afford decent housing of their own. That brings strain on the family. Also, child abuse, neglect are so rampant that the state social workers are busy 24/7, overloaded with caseload. It is believed 22 million children need care. About 6 million are in daycare programs. We must be careful not to miss the opportunity to bring them before the Lord. Paul says in Ephesians 5 verse 16, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. I hope you agree with me. The days are so evil. We must consider that time lost cannot be reclaimed. If time has been invested in children, dividends will be reaped. So, again, I want to repeat, don't miss this opportunity by cursing yourself that I didn't do enough on my children. No, you have done enough because you have sown the seed. The seed is there, it's growing. As the days are evil, let's redeem our children from the murderous world as did Jochebed in verse 10. What did she do? After nursing Moses, she surrendered Moses to Pharaoh's daughter. Is that so? Let's revisit that verse again. Verse 10. Exodus verse 10. What does it say? When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Sometimes we need to say, these children, they are overgrowing the basket. We can no longer hide them. We can no longer get hold of them or keep them under our control. We surrender them to the Lord. Don't you remember the story of Hannah? 1 Samuel 1 verse 27, she prayed for this son and God gave her a son. And she said, I will give this son to the Lord. Didn't that happen? Sometimes we need to do that. Jochebed has just shown us an example here. When the son grew older, she took her to Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh was the king of Egypt. We've got one king who is Jesus Christ. We need to take our children, our grandchildren, before Jesus Christ. They need him. Not for us. No, you have done your bit by telling them there's a Jesus. So now what's left is for Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, to take over. Jochebed took Moses. And listen to the name. He was not named then, but that time, Pharaoh's daughter, she named him Moses. I think she had a background of Hebrew and Israelite culture, because according to their culture, that's the name according to the Israelite culture. So that name says, I drew him out of the water. We need to draw our children out of the dangers of this world, ladies and gentlemen. Not on our own powers, but God's powers. All we need is to say, Father, here we are, take over. This is what we need to say. Paul has reminded us that we are living in evil days. So we must be careful, or else we might miss this opportunity of bringing them before the Lord. Stop worrying yourself. You cannot grow one hair because of your worries. So don't worry. It's God's problem, not your problem. Worrying doesn't bring any food home, but it makes you stressed out. So for you to stop being stressed out, stop worrying about things that you cannot change. All you can do is bring them before the Lord in prayer. Amen? Don't worry about it. Say, God, I ask for this son or for this daughter. Well, remember, if we are preaching saying son, we are inclusive. Boys and girls, they are all included. So say to God, I ask for this daughter, I ask for this son. Now, Lord, I've done my bit. I hand over to you. God will receive that with both hands. Hannah should be a good example. Jochebed should be a good example to us. And then the next thing. Well, where is it gone? There. Sometimes you do not realize the weight of something you have been holding or carrying until you feel the weight of its release. Yeah? So today I want you to release that pressure that is on you. Some people are burdened that I didn't do enough for my children, I didn't do enough for my daughters. You have done enough. I want to praise you for what you have done. God knows it. He's giving you a credit. So, don't feel bad. And mothers who are here this morning, I want to remind you of a certain verse in Genesis 2, verse 24. It says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. There are some mothers who tend to be in the midst of their son's marriage. If you're one of them, the Bible is saying, today is the day for you to let go. Yes? I'm reminded of Princess Diana when she was having problems with her marriage. There's a statement, I was still in Africa then. She said, this marriage is crowded. Mothers, that's the pressure you bring on your sons. If your son is married, he's out of your custody. Relinquish him. Let him go. If you think I'm telling fibs, some marriages have broken up because mothers are still poking their noses in their son's marriage. When your son is married, he's grown up. Genesis 2 has told us that a man and a woman will be one flesh. So, what is the mother-in-law looking for in the son's marriage? You are no longer part of that flesh. Amen? These two have become one flesh. So what are you looking for? You are making that marriage crowded. Yes? But listen to this as well. Wise parents do this. After relinquishing that, after washing their hands, I want to tell you this morning what wise parents do. In Deuteronomy 24, verse 16, according to the New Living Translation, it says, parents must not put to death for the sins of their children, nor children for the sins of their parents. Those deserving to die must be put to death for their own sins. Amen. So mothers, don't cling on that marriage. Let go. And let that son or daughter, she will die for her own sins, and you will die for your own sins. So if you remain clouding that marriage, you are sinning. Yes, the house went quiet. But surely you need to release, to relinquish, so that the children can have their freedom. Please, today, this is God's word. He wants us to be free, and he also wants us to free, to give freedom to our children. Jochebed took Moses to the Nile infested with the crocodiles, into the hands of nature, under the care of a child, and she went to her house. Isn't that giving freedom? Children need freedom. As long as we have taken them to the Lord, what is our fear? It's like our prayers. If we are praying without faith, answers won't come. The same applies if we release our children and we're still holding on the cord. We haven't released them. We're still holding. If we have done like Jochebed, as she handed over Moses to the king, you too, you need to have that idea and hand over your son. Bearing in mind to know that all sons are heritage from God and they are a reward from God. So he will still take care of them. If you have done your bit, as the psalmist write, as Proverbs 22 says, if you have trained them, where is your worry? Because Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, we must train a child the way they should go. Amen? So if you've done your training, where is your worry? Take the worry out of your head. God, I'm surrendering this child to you. He is in your custody now, not mine. Because when they are too big, they won't fit in that basket. There's always going to be fights in that house. When a girl child is grown up, she wants a style of cooking in that kitchen. And the mother says, this is my kitchen. You can't tell me what to do. This is what happens because you don't give them freedom. Let them go. What about if your son, if he's going to come home every day and say, Mom, can you prepare lunch for me? What are you going to do? I think mothers will end up complaining. Son, grow up and make your own home. Give your sons and daughters freedom. As long as they are in the Lord will take care of them. as long as we have loved them unconditionally, as Paul says in Ephesians 6 verse 4. We need to love them unconditionally so that we can be able to relinquish. Finally, I want to remind you of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says, I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Don't feel downhearted that you haven't done enough. You have fought the race. You have ran the race. You have fought the fight. And you have kept the faith because you believe in a living God. So wherever those sons, daughters are now, whether you've put them on in the Nile River or if you surrendered them in the temple, they are safe because God is a God of protection. He's a God of nature. Now, we want to end by saying responsibility, redeem, relinquish. Don't miss the opportunity. God is a God of care. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you. Father, we want to praise you and lift your name.